The earth is God's and all that is in it. 33 years ago, I found myself up a creek without a paddle. For a full year, winter, spring, summer, and fall, I found myself wading and wandering along a stream, learning about it, and falling in love with that flowing stream. It wasn't a mighty river. It wasn't a distant stream. It was a small creek, 20 kilometers long, running from cropland in Boone County to where it empties into Squaw Creek at the northwest boundary of the city of Ames. Onion Creek was the subject of my Iowa State master's degree research in limnology, the study of freshwater ecosystems. This being Earth Week, I thought it'd be appropriate to share a little bit about that journey, because in no small way, part of the reason I'm here today is because of that experience on Onion Creek. I once was a government environmental attorney, and now before you as a seminary intern, hoping to devote the remainder of my life to God and God's creation. Today we reflect on the text from the Gospel of Matthew called the Great Commission. Post-resurrection, Jesus told his 11 remaining disciples to go spread the good news to all nations, make disciples, baptize them, and urge them to obey Jesus' commandments. No small task, but Jesus told the disciples he would be with them until the end of the age. On Easter, we are reminded that we too can be with Jesus. And the question is, are we with him? Are we fulfilling his great commission today? Not surprisingly, this text has been used in the past to be motivation for proselytizing and converting Christians, people to Christianity from around the world. But historically, that missionary zeal to make disciples has too often combined with political conquest, financial gain, and even abandonment of Jesus's commandments. Today, I invite you to look at this text a little differently, another path in response to the Great Commission. I invite you to consider whether we are called today to save souls not by faith conversion, but by saving the planet, a planet in which we all depend upon regardless of our faith. I invite you to consider whether we are called not merely to baptize, but to work for clean and adequate water for all of God's children to drink and bathe and be baptized if they wish. I invite you to consider whether God's love shown through Jesus is strong enough, deep enough, and wide enough to be shared with all nations, with all God's children, and with all of God's creation. My focus today is to reflect on how the Great Commission relates to our duty to care for creation. I see now that my journey on Onion Creek long ago helped me to find part of the answer. Leslie, my wife, and I have floated down a glacier-fed river in Alaska. We have floated down the Snake River in Wyoming and the Upper Iowa River here in Iowa, each magnificent in its own way, but those were short visits. Onion Creek, on the other hand, for me, was a year-long obsession, spending so much time there, sometimes day and night. Onion Creek, this obscure stream, did not promise to be a great adventure for me, but it delivered one to me. Like the old spiritual, my research on Onion Creek involved wading in the waters, to wade upstream against the current, to take samples, measurements, observations. And while the water belonged to the state of Iowa and the stream bed belonged to the adjacent landowners, I knew in my heart from all the time I spent on Onion Creek that that creek ultimately belongs to God. We're merely tenants. We come and go. But God's claim to the waters, the land, the sky is eternal. Thousands of years ago, a psalmist came up with that same conclusion. It's on the card that I gave the children, and I hope they passed out to you. The earth is God's and all that is in it. Fundamental to both the Jewish and Christian faith is the primeval affirmation that God is our creator and that creation is very good. You know, there are two creation stories. In Genesis, the first creation story lays out what God created, the light, the dry land and the waters, the plants, the sun, moon, and stars, the birds of the air, the creatures of the sea, the animals of the earth, and finally, humankind. And God looked at all that God had created and concluded it was very good. I can be just as enthusiastic about God's creation. Little Onion Creek offered me many examples. Like life, you never know what you're going to find when you go around the bend. There's the ever-changing light in the water, the reflection of heaven on the surface of the water, the sound of the wind going through the nearby grasses and trees, the sound of the water going over rocks or a submerged log, the sight and sounds of birds and frogs and an occasional beaver slapping its tail, the minnows and chubs darting about one's boots. I offer three important moments of my time in Onion Creek, one about awe, another about challenge, and a third about hope. A story of awe. On a spring day, I went to one of my sampling locations, and there's a small tree at that location right next to the creek. And as I approached, I noticed something very unusual I'd never seen before. That tree was full of one species of birds, a species that apparently is common in the state of Iowa, at least during breeding season, but one that I had never seen before. And this tree was full of them. Rose-breasted grosbeaks. For those of you who have seen them, they're an extraordinarily beautiful bird. Black on the back, a white chest, and a triangle of bright red, like a heart, as lovely as its song. And I stood there in awe and watched those beautiful birds and listened to them for a long time for somebody who's supposed to be doing research, until they moved away. Many years later, when I went to seminary, I was reminded of that experience when I read some of the writings of St. Francis of Assisi. He was a 12th and 13th century Catholic friar who 800 years later was made patron saint of ecology and the environment by the Catholic Church. And I was particularly drawn to his legendary Sermon to the Birds. And the story goes like this. He was out by himself. He came upon a flock of birds. And he approached them and he addressed them like he would his other friars. And he said, "My brothers." And to his amazement, they did not fly away. And so then Francis did something unprecedented. He stood there and delivered a sermon to those birds. He said to them, "Praise and love your Creator, a Creator who gave you feathers to wear, wings to fly, and a home in the purity of the air." Well, not being a saint myself, I did not preach to the birds that morning on Onion Creek long ago. But rather, I stood in awe, and I listened to the sermon they preached to me. In so many ways, my time on Onion Creek has reminded me that creation is good, creation is very good, and that we, as children and servants of God, have a duty of care. Story of challenge. On a bitterly cold winter day, I took a walk in a wooded portion of Onion Creek. The creek was frozen solid, so I decided I would walk on the creek, figuring that would be easier. It wasn't. As I came around a bend, I saw ahead of me dark objects strewn across that frozen creek. What could it be? I approached, and to my horror, the objects were body parts of deer, with several deer heads and assorted limbs strewn across the frozen creek, just below a bridge. I quickly looked about. My little creek of awe had in a moment become for me a place of evil. How could it be that someone could be so self-centered and lazy and disrespectful to dispose of the butchered body parts of deer by tossing them over the side of a bridge onto a frozen creek? How could anyone commit that act of desecration and then think to themselves, out of sight, out of mind, no one will ever know? Is not that same self-centeredness the root cause and license of pollution and pillage and plunder of God's creation? Last Sunday on Easter, I was reminded of that same cold reality. The entire world was reminded that in an instant the glory of God's creation can be transformed from awe and love to desecration and hate. In Sri Lanka, several churches and hotels, on a day of resurrection and hope, had become littered with the body parts of the faithful, the hopeful, and the many dead. And just yesterday, another Jewish synagogue hit with violence. That age-old centered denial that we are all children of God, loved by God, the denial of that had once again wreaked havoc and spread despair. As Christians, that is our continuing challenge. The Great Commission expressly applies to earth. It's global in reach. It requires that Jesus' commandments be obeyed. And what were the two greatest commandments? To love God and to love your neighbor. And I have long felt that those two commandments have a necessary corollary, and that is to love God's creation. You cannot love God. You cannot love your neighbor if you do not also love God's creation. Pope Francis, the first pope to take the name of Saint Francis, has a similar conviction that we have a fundamental Christian duty to care for the earth. In the first creation story, God granted humanity dominion, but as the Pope says, that did not mean unbridled exploitation. In the second creation story, God said, till the earth, but also to keep it. In his encyclical on climate change, the Pope identified three fundamental relationships with God, with our neighbor, and with the earth. Pope Francis decried climate change, pollution, loss of biodiversity, and a host of other problems, which the Pope noted falls most heavily on the poor. Pope Francis urged a different kind of conversion, an ecological conversion, where our encounter with Jesus Christ is evident by the way we relate to the earth. We often join in Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s statement that injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. And the point of that is that our fate is inescapably entwined with the fate of others. Like down the street, or in Poway, California, or around the world in Sri Lanka. The same is true with God's creation. No piece of paradise is safe without care for all of God's creation. No piece of the web of life can be separated without consequences to all. A final story from Onion Creek, a story of hope. I was wading a segment of the creek that I had not been to before, and I came around the bend, and to my surprise, the creek was quite wide there, almost as wide as the sanctuary in that spot. And as I looked up ahead, there was something also unexpected and unusual. I was in an area of the creek that was tree-lined. There was no road, no dock, no trail access. In my whole year in Onion Creek, I had never seen another person in the creek. And yet, there was something up ahead. Something stuck in the middle of the creek, sticking up above the water. Something battered and blue. And so I approached. And this is what I found. I knew then, it seemed, that I was no longer up a creek without a paddle. My faith has grown a great deal since the days of Onion Creek. I have opened my heart wider and deeper to the hope, to the reality, that whenever I'm up a creek without a paddle, I have one, and God has the other. I have faith. I have faith in a God who provides a boat to lift us, a rudder to give us direction, and a sail or paddles to power us forward. My faith, my gratitude, and my joy spur me to love that God and love God's creation. I hope and pray that for each one of you, you have found a paddle, and that your stream, no matter what, flows to and with our Creator God. Amen.